let's turn in our Bibles to John 21, and you can remain seated. John 21. And so this morning we have our second to the last sermon in the Gospel of John. So we have this message, and it seems that we have one more after this one, and we'll close the Gospel of John. And what a journey it's been. Praise God. God's done a lot of things through the Gospel of John, hasn't He? Saved a lot of people through the Gospel of John. And so we can praise God. Look forward to what He's going to do next. Our text is verse 18, and we'll read from 18 to 23. The Bible says, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest." Jesus is speaking to Peter here. "But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not." So Jesus is telling Peter what is going to happen in his future. When he's old, Jesus said. Verse 19, "This spake he, signifying what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, Follow me." So Jesus gave him the news that in the future, this is how he's going to die. And then Jesus said, "Follow me anyway." Pretty amazing. But look what Peter did, verse 20. "Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following." This would be John, by the way. "Which also leaned on his breast at supper and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, what shall this man do?" So Peter asks Jesus, what is going to happen with John? Verse 22. "Jesus saith unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Then went this saying abroad among the brethren, that the disciples should not die. Yet Jesus said not unto him that he should not die, but if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee?" So Jesus told Peter, this is what you're going to look forward to in your future. And Jesus said, "Follow me." Peter looked around and saw John. He said, "Well, what about him?" And Jesus said, "Don't worry about him. You need to embrace the path that I've made for you." And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. So let's have prayer and we'll launch into this. Father, we pray for your help. We need you. Without you, God, we can do nothing. So we pray that you'd help us to be encouraged, taught, as you desire to this morning through the work of the Holy Spirit in us. Help us to remain faithful to you as you've been so faithful to us. Forgive us where we fail you, God. We desperately want to serve you and to know you and to be right with you, but we struggle so deeply, so often. So would you help us, please? Please, may the sweet Spirit of God touch our hearts and help us to honor you with a loving kind of response of obedience and submission. And we're your servants, God. We love you. We're thankful for Jesus. We thank you for salvation. Without you, we're nothing, and we know that. And so we're here because we want to honor you. So please be blessed and help us to learn and to be what you'd have us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. Well, I talked to somebody this morning. He said they're getting old and there's not a whole lot they can do about it. Now, I'm not going to tell you who that was, but it happens, doesn't it? There's not a whole lot you can do when your body starts changing and failing you're just, oh, man. So we played, the boys and I mentioned also in my Sunday school lesson, the boys and I play football, and we do that pretty regularly. The boys had gotten their football gloves, and so we play even more often now, which I love. We had a good time yesterday. We went out there, and we divided up teams. We had Aiden and Alex with us, so it was 3-on-3, dad's all-time quarterback, so... You know, I already mentioned that in Sunday school because I don't like running around too much, so I'm the guy who throws it. But anyway, we're out there, we're throwing the ball, we're playing. We play the football game, and then we kick field goals, and everybody missed. except Ethan. Ethan made a field goal, kicked a field goal, and then his team won. So we had a great time doing that. But while we were during Thanksgiving week, we decided to play some football out there because they've got them gloves, you know. So we're going to get out there and we're playing, and it's 2-on-2. Grant, I think Caleb and I were on a team, and Grant and Wesley were on a team, which is their cousin. And by the way, 15 years old, 6'2". I think I was talking to Blakely about tall kids at young age. Man, this kid's tall. Anyway, so we're out there, we're playing football. I couldn't throw anything over him. I mean, he'd just jump and just sort of throw it away. So I hike the ball. Caleb takes off. We designed our play, and I'm running around. Grant's counting to 5 Mississippi. Maybe, well, what does Mississippi have to do with anything? Well, that's what you do. It's a long word. And you say 1 Mississippi, 2 Mississippi, and then when you get to 5, you can rush the quarterback. It's 2-hand touch, not tackle, because, you know, fragile. And so he counts to 5 Mississippi, and he takes off after me, and I haven't thrown the ball yet. So I'm running away from him. I'm looking for Caleb, and I just, Hail Mary, throw the thing as far as I can. Thank the Lord I didn't throw my shoulder out. But anyway, I just threw it as hard as I could, and it just sort of flops out there like a lame duck, and then Wesley patted it away as he was doing all of the balls that I was throwing. But the point of the story is that right after I threw it, Grant pushed me against the rules. But anyway, no, it's fine. He pushed me, and I was off balance when I threw the ball, so right when he pushed me, it was just like a tumbling. I just started doing that when you fall down and then you just sort of tumble. So I tumble, I roll like 3 times, and then I came to a stop, sprawled out all over the ground, you know? And then Grant ran over to me, Dad, Dad, man, I'm sorry, Dad. And then he said this, I forgot you're old. And I thought he was going to laugh right after he said that. He was not laughing. He was being totally serious, like his elderly dad, you know? So our bodies are changing as we get older. And there's not a whole lot we can do about that. You know, it's just something that we deal with in life. Maybe we could say it like this. As chapters in life change, you deal with the chapter as it comes. You know, you get dealt cards, don't you? I remember a story Brother Hetzer told me when he was a youth pastor in El Paso. He was invited to preach a chapel at a Catholic school where there were several hundred kids in. As the kids were coming into the chapel, which is an amazing that he was invited to preach a gospel sermon. A bunch of kids got saved at this thing too, at a Catholic church or at a Catholic school. But anyway, as each kid was coming in, he had all these decks of playing cards, and each kid got a card out of the deck. And so every kid in the whole assembly had a card, and he used that as an illustration to point out that everybody is dealt a different card in life. And sometimes you want to trade cards with somebody else. Sometimes you'd love to have the card that they were dealt because you don't like the card that you were dealt. But you can't trade cards. It's the card that you were dealt. And so the question isn't, how can I get rid of this card? The question isn't, how angry can I be about the card that I was dealt, the hand that I was dealt? The question is, what am I going to do with the hand that I was dealt? So this is where I am. This is the physical infirmity that I have. What am I going to do with it? This is the emotional infirmity that I have. What am I going to do with it? This is the particular struggle that I have in this arena or area of life. So how am I going to deal with this, whether it's finances or difficult home life or wherever it is that the battle that you face individually, the card that you were dealt in your life? The question is, what are you going to do with it? And that's where we are in this passage. Peter was told that one day he's going to be crucified. That's what Jesus said to him. Jesus said, one day they're going to stretch your hands out and they're going to bind you. And it was commonly known that this phrase meant that you're going to be crucified. That's what the phrase meant. And so Peter wouldn't have wondered what's going to happen to him when he, in the future, as Jesus said, when you get old. Jesus told him what's going to happen. Now look at the verse again. Verse 18, it says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou was young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. And we'll talk about that in a second. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands. So Jesus told him that one day in the future, when he's old, he's going to die. Now he also began by saying, when thou was young. So he's talking about maybe the past. He's talking about definitely the present and definitely the days to come. But he said, thou walkest whither thou wouldest. What does that imply? It implies freedom, right? It implies that he has the ability to serve and to present the gospel, to tell people about Jesus, to serve the Lord, to be what in life freely what God wants him to be. But there will be a day when that'll be over, his hands will be stretched out, and he will be, as Jesus prophesied, crucified, which is precisely, church family, what happened. And there's historical record. Clement of Rome said in AD 96, or wrote in AD 96, mentioned that Peter was crucified. Tertullian in AD 212 confirmed that Peter was bound to a cross. And so historical record confirms that Peter was in fact crucified. And then of course there's also historians that report that Peter requested that he would not be crucified as Jesus was crucified, but Peter asked that he would be crucified upside down. Now imagine with me, if you can, that Peter is being told by Jesus that one day he would be crucified. And so his ministry from here all the way to the end, this is what he's thinking about. This is what he's looking forward to. You know, this kind of, you know, persecution is in his future. And then when it comes, not only did he, in honor, ask that he would be crucified upside down, not feeling worthy to be crucified like his Lord, you had to watch. Also, historical records report that he had to watch his wife crucified before him. And it was reported that he, as watching, and part of his torture was to watch his wife crucified, it was said that he said to his wife while she was on the cross, remember the Lord, remember the Lord. And then he suffered his death. So he would have known that this suffering was coming. And Jesus said to him, follow me, two times, follow me. All through his ministry, follow me, Jesus is asking him. Although he knows what he can look forward to, the difficulty of the coming cross, or if you're a disciple of the Lord, the difficulty that's to come, any circumstance, any experience that's to come, God says, follow me. But then he looked around and he saw John. He was curious what God's plan for John was. Look at verse 20. And Peter turning about, seeing the disciple whom Jesus loved, this would have been John. Look at verse 21. Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, what shall this man do? So Peter was determined, as he had just heard about what God had God's plan for his life, his future, Peter was determined to compare his future with whatever God had designed for John's future. He's comparing the two. And that's a common thing that happens today still. I was talking to my wife about this. She mentioned about the danger of sometimes Facebook and Pinterest. When you look at these things, what you see is pictures of people's homes, or you see pictures of people's lives. And when you see these things, you say things like this, or on Pinterest, you say things like this. Why can't my house look like that? Why can't my things look like that? Why can't my family look like that? And what ends up happening is you see what other people have, you see what other people do, you see how they live, you see where they are, and then you compare where you are with where they are, and you say, I want what I have to look like what they have. That's the danger here. This is a common thing. It happens. I was talking to my sister-in-law, Mary Beth. They had just remodeled the building where the Glazeman was with them for several weeks and just did an overhaul on their building. It used to be a children's, daycare, and they changed it into a church. And it's beautiful. I mean, Brother Glazeman, he's a miracle. I mean, look at what he did here, you know. So it's amazing. But they picked out a color. She wanted gray. She wanted it's kind of in right now, sort of that gray look. And she wanted that. So she picked out this gray that she liked. And they started painting the auditorium. And they got about halfway painted. And it looked purple. It's like, oh no, this is bad. Well, let's just get it finished. And maybe whenever it's all done, it won't look as purpley. It was purple. It was very purple. And, well, let's change the light. Change the light didn't help. Still purple. She's so sad. And she drives down. She was telling me this, you know. She's driving down the road and she sees a gray house. And she says, why can't it just be that color? And then she sees somebody else's, room or something. And it's gray. Why can't it just be that color, you know? Why does it have to be purple? You know, I mean, any colors in the world, right? Purple is like one of the top worst one in her mind. That's how we are. I think sometimes in life we have expectations for where we would like to see our life. We see the lives of others and we compare and we say, why can't my life be like that? That's what John's doing. One writer said it like this: God's plan for Christians vary. Can we get an amen to that? Let me say it again. God's plans for Christians vary. And His reasons are not often made known. We get distracted because we compare ourselves, the card that we were dealt in life, we compare it with the card others are dealt in life, and then we are disappointed with what we have, and we want what they have. And then what ends up happening is we neglect the path that God has for us because we're coveting some other path, craving some other path, pursuing some other path, and we don't accomplish what God has called us to accomplish. Yeah. But why do we do this? Well, we compare ourselves, I think, sometimes, and I think most of us would agree, because there's something about our path that we don't like. We're disappointed with where we are in life. When we were with Brother Vaught in Scottsdale, he's a real mountain bike guy. In fact, he used to be a professional athlete, professional mountain bike racer. And he's racing, still racing. He's like in his mid-40s and he's still racing mountain bikes. He's entered into this other race. So I'm like, okay. You know, but he took me riding. He's like, you want to go riding? I'm like, sure. How hard can it be? Mountain bike riding and trails? Come on. It can't be that hard. Yeah, so I got on this bike. And I run a lot, so I thought maybe I'm in decent shape. I get on this mountain bike, and it's like, oh, it's only like, how many miles was it? It's like 8 or 9 miles. Oh, that's on a bike? No problem. We get on the trail. We're like 2 miles in. I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to make it. This is hard. So we're on a trail, so it's rocks, and you're constantly just, Lord, help me not fall, please. And there's cactus on both sides. We're in Scottsdale. Like, we're in the desert, right? So, and it's not like cactus are pretend. They're not pretend cactus. I mean, if you hit one, ouch. Like, you're like, really ouch. You know? And I'm asking God to help me stay upright. And praise God, I made it through the whole 8 miles, which I got halfway, and I thought to myself, I'm not even sure if I'm going to make it. I mean, I'm going to have to get off the bike and walk. How embarrassing is that? But anyway, I made the whole thing, and I never fell. Super close calls, but never fell off. Grazed a cactus one time with my leg, but didn't get stabbed. Hallelujah. But here's what, through the whole process, I think, most embarrassing. Like, he looks like he's not even doing anything. You know, like whenever, have you ever went, I'm going to try to relate to you, okay? It's like whenever you go with an Olympic athlete, just for a jog, right? We're just going to jog a mile. And then you make one lap and you're like, because you're not in shape. And they're like, it's like for them, it's like walking. Well, that's what it was for him. He would ride like he's riding downhill through this thing. He would get way ahead and I can't even see him. And these trails, I'm like, Lord, help me to not go the wrong way because I don't want to die out here, you know, because there's trails going different ways. And he gets way out ahead, and then next thing I know, I finally catch up to him. He's been waiting there for a long time, you know. So when I made it, I praise the Lord about that. I didn't get stabbed. I didn't crash. And so to me, total victory. But if I compared myself to him, wow, big trouble, right? I mean, I am a total loser. If I physically, like fitness speaking. It would sort of be like if I compared myself in the area of basketball with Tyler, right? So Tyler here, me here, you know, we're on different levels. Well, that's the danger that Jesus is going to deal with Peter. Peter is seeing the card that he's being dealt. It's starting to process with him. And he's starting to look around and say, wait a second. I don't like the card that you've given to me that much. I mean, it's sort of implied all in this story, right? Why would he even point to John? Why would he even have an interest in John at all? Because he's wondering, is this card that you've given to me going to be given to somebody else? I mean, am I going to do this by myself? Or can I pass this on to somebody else? I'm not sure I like this. Whatever is in his mind, he's looking around and doesn't like the card he's been dealt too much. And he's comparing himself to others. He's starting to. We do that, don't we? Why can't I have a normal family? Some of us say that. Why can't I just, I see this family and I see how normal they are and I see how sweet they are and I see how great they have such a good marriage and they have such, their kids are, you know, sit up and they listen and they obey and, you know, of course we don't know what's going on behind the scenes, right? It's never really at home like it is when you're at church. Anyway, just throwing that out there, but we say that, can I just have a normal family? Why can't I just have financial stability like these people? Look at all the stuff they can buy and all the things they can do with their finances, and we're barely scraping by, or actually under budget almost every month. And we're like, not just scraping by, we're like, fingers crossed this month. How are we gonna do it? I don't know. Let's pray. And we're sort of living on the edge financially. And we say, we compare ourselves to others who don't seem to be going through that. We say, why can't I have a situation like they have? So their family, their children behave, their marriage is where it is. Moms and dad, we said this in Sunday school. Why can't I have a dad like they have? Or why can't I have a mom like they have? Why can't I have a car like they have? My brother-in-law has a really nice Ford truck. And we get in that thing, we're riding down the road, and I'm thinking, man, I'd love to have one of these, you know? Like a king cab, four-wheel drive, nice truck, you know, with the cover on the back. Thinking, man, I'm a Fall City guy. I have to have a truck. I mean, I need to have a truck, right? I need to have something. So I get a little bit of jealous of him for having that truck. Yeah, we do that. We look at what other people have and we get jealous. My sister-in-law looking at the purple paint. Thinking, man, can't I just have gray? Can't I just have gray paint? Have you ever heard the phrase "keeping up with the Joneses"? Yeah, you know what? That's what we do, isn't it? We try to keep up with the Joneses. We're looking around. I was trying to figure out where that phrase came from. I found this. I don't know if it's true, but hey, it's interesting. And I bet you want to know what I found, right? So, keeping up with the Joneses. Here's one theory of the origin of that saying. One source says that the phrase was inspired by a mansion that was built in 1850 in New York. And the summer, it was called this, a summer getaway for New York City social elite, a lady named Elizabeth Jones. And she had a house that was 7,690 square feet. And it was called the Wycliffe Castle. And it was so elegant and over the top, it prompted her neighbors to build even bigger houses in an effort to keep up with the Joneses. So the mansion then later became abandoned in the 1950s. Once top-of-the-line mansion, 80 acres of land is now on 2.5 acres and is run down, fallen apart. And it does tell us something about keeping up with the Joneses, right? That it's not going to last. And it's an example of the impermanence of the wealth and the things that we try to acquire. One day, it's going to be gone. And that's for sure. But we still, don't we? We look around and we compare ourselves to others and we don't like something about our own life, our own family, our own stuff, our own relationships. And we see what other people have and we make observations of where they are and we see their situation and we want our situation to be theirs, like their situation. We become jealous. And this is where Peter is. Peter is seeing and hearing what God has for him. He's hearing the path that God has laid down for him. He's not wanting to embrace it. And by the way, can you blame him? This is kind of a tough path to want to just embrace. He starts looking around, comparing himself to others. What about John? But look what Jesus said in verse 22. Jesus saith unto him, if thou wilt that he tarry till I come. In other words, if John tarries, in other words, if John doesn't go through what you're about to go through, or what you're in when you're old, what you're going to go through. If he doesn't go through it at all, what difference does that make, or will that make for you? Look what he said. He said, "What is that to thee? Follow thou me." So if Peter has been called of the Lord to follow the Lord, and God says, when you're old, you're going to suffer this kind of persecution, and you're going to go through this trial, and God says, follow me in spite of what you know. And Peter says, what about John? And Jesus answers, what about John? What if John lives the rest of his life? What if John doesn't suffer like you suffer at all? Is that going to change whether you're going to follow me? Peter was to commit himself to God's plan for his life. No matter what happened to the people around him, through the people around him, whether good or bad. Peter was asked by God to embrace the path and follow the path that Jesus had laid out for him. Yeah. Can I tell you this morning that if you're jealous of how other people have it, then you will not serve God the way God wants you to serve Him where you are. You'll be distracted with what you desire from somebody else's path. God has a path tailor-made for you. Did you know that? So, well, I want it to be this way, or I want it to be that. And we can pray and we can ask God for, you know, His special blessing in certain areas of life. But listen, God has a plan, a path tailor-made just for you. I had a suit recently tailor-made for me, and I didn't do this for me. It was a gift, and I praise God for that. And I'd never actually had a suit tailor-made quite like this, where you pick the color of the fabric, you pick the kind of inside, whatever this stuff's called, the lining. Yep. See, there you go. That's how much I don't know. And so I got to pick all of it. Guess what color it's going to be? You'll never guess. I don't know. I'm a creature of habit. Well, it's not going to be red or some weird color. Come on. So anyway, if that hurt your feeling, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to, but it's a blue. Anyway, tailor made. So I had to go in, and they had the suit all ready to go, but they had to measure the length, you know, just to make sure it's short enough. So I go in there, and I put it all on, and I had these shoes on. And I put the suit on, and the guy who's measuring it for me, he got all excited. He's like, "Ooh, man, I really like that color. I like that suit." And he's like, "Man, it looks good with those shoes." And I'm like, "Do you do this for everybody who comes in here?" I mean, he was falling over himself about how cool he thought my suit was, you know. Made me feel good, I guess. But so he measured it, got everything done, and it's going to be ready this week. Maybe next Sunday I'll have it on. You'll get to hear it. Tomorrow. All right. That's what I hear. Well, there was a friend of mine who had his suit tailored too. And I won't name him, but he's sitting here on the third row, first chair. And so he went in, and we had our suits tailored at the same time. And so he went in to try it on just to get it measured. But whenever he put it on, they had tailored his suit to my size. Uh-oh. And so we won't tell you which way it didn't fit, okay? It wasn't right. Why? Because his suit had to be tailored for him, or it wasn't going to be right. He couldn't wear my suit. You get it? That's how it works, friends, in life. God has a plan tailored for you. If you live your life wishing for somebody else's life, wishing for some other situation, you will not be used to accomplish what God designed for you. You don't have to do that. You don't have to live. You know, Melissa and I'm just about done here, okay? Is it early again? No, we're good. Last week, I got you out way too early. I was determined not to do that. Brother Eric's like, never apologize for short sermons. You're like, everybody's, all God's people said, amen, you know? I don't like short sermons. It makes me uncomfortable. It makes me feel like I didn't do my job. Anyway, so early on in ministry, it was tough. And I've said this so many times, it's like I'm beating the same drum. But listen, it was a lot of times Melissa and I had a hard time with ministry here because it was hard in Falls City to make friends. It was hard in Falls City to get people to come. We had this building, it's beautiful, and we have a great crowd this morning, even with so much sickness and COVID and just the needs that are out there. We still have a good crowd today, you know? And I remember when we had all these pews, and the pews were all the way to the back wall, and everybody sat in the back, and I had these walls up here because we hadn't remodeled, and I felt like I was a mile away from humans, you know? I felt like everybody's at the back. I finally just bring the pulpit down here and planted it here, and then finally we took all the back rows. We only had four rows in here, so everybody, the back row was where the fourth row is. That was the back row. I'm like, that's how you do it. Get rid of all the rows. Listen, when we didn't have people, it was hard. It was hard. And I remembered there were times when her and I would talk about, okay, so this is hard. I don't really want to do this. And I would start that thing where I would, as a pastor, look at what other guys have. You know, I would look at my friends in this city, and they had 50-something people. I'm like, man, they just started. They've been there less time than we have been here. And they have like 10 times more people than we do. You know what? And I would start, and then I would compare over there. And then I started getting phone calls. Hey, you know, you're in there in Falls City, and there's a church up here, and I counted it up once. In the 9 years that I've been here, I've been invited to pastor 6 different churches than this one. And I prayed about all of them. I said no to all of them immediately, but I also promised I would pray about it. Listen, when I got to my knees, here's what I would pray. Lord, what do you want me to do? And it was always the same. Be where you are. You are right where I want you to be. Okay, question. If you are right where God wants you to be, where would you go? You can't go anywhere if you're right where God wants you to be. And so what do then? You stay. Seems simple, right? And that's the message this morning, friends. Embrace the path. Embrace it. Are you where God wants you to be? Do you have the dad that God wants you to have? Yeah. Well, then embrace it. Do you have the mom that God wants you to have? Yes. Embrace that. How about your marriage? How about your church? How about your job? How about the town you live in? How about everything about your life? Are you where God wants you to be? Just evaluate it. If you can say, yes, I'm where God wants me to be right now, then embrace the path that God has designed for you, and then let God do what God desires to do through you. So I don't like it, though. I don't like the card that I was dealt. It's not going to help you to do what God wants you to do. It'll only hinder you to start looking at what other people have. Comparing yourselves to what they have, wanting what they have, it's going to hinder you from being what God wants you to be. So embrace it. What a great way to get ready to close the book of John than just to say in life, as Peter is about to launch into an amazing ministry in the book of Acts. He did, in the end, get crucified, which was an awful end. But do you know what Peter did? He embraced the path that God had for him and established the church in the book of Acts, helped to establish the church to move forward in the book of Acts so that we can be here today. Praise the Lord. That's what we need this morning. And my hope is for you to stay right where God wants you to be. Father, we need you today to help us to embrace the path that you've made for us. And there's been some who perhaps struggled and wondered about quitting or have coveted and just desired what others have in a variety of different ways we can do this. And if that's been the case, God, would you help us to turn our hearts back to you, to embrace the path that you've made for us. And we'll give you glory for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand.